I know, last week we were celebrating Christmas, the birth of Jesus, and all of a sudden we're up and running into Jesus' life. Jesus, the apostle, you can find that in one of Paul's letters, and I'm forgetting which one it is, but he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the apostle of our faith, Paul says. So Jesus is the apostle. We don't often use that term to describe Jesus, but it means the one who's on a mission. Jesus is on a mission. So even though he's a baby lying in the manger, he's on a mission because God has sent him into the world for a purpose, to be the savior of the world, to be the light of the world, to show us what humanity is meant to look like. That's the mission that Jesus was on and is on even today. The apostle, the one who's sent by God. So let's go on to the next slide, Chris. A few things, just the preliminary thoughts on the reading from Luke and Jesus at the temple. We're told that he's 12 years old. That was the age at which a Jewish boy would be considered a son of the law or a son of the covenant. And even now in Judaism, it's practiced by the Jews, and we know it as bar mitzvah for boys or bat mitzvah for girls. Initially, bat mitzvah for girls happens at age 12. Bar mitzvah happens at age 13 for boys. Girls mature before boys, don't they? They're cleverer in general. But at 12 years old, he would be considered to have gone through that process of becoming a man and able to be even a rabbi, a teacher of the law. And so 12 years is a significant moment for Luke to capture. It's the only moment in Jesus' adolescence that is captured in the Bible. You can't find evidence in the Bible for what Jesus did between the ages of birth and 12, and then between the ages of 12 and 29 or so. We assume, as Luke says, that he grew in favor with God and man. He was an obedient son. He was a working man. But at 12 years old, it's significant because he's now showing that he is the one who has been sent by God as a teacher, and who's unique and special and different, even though he's the pattern for our lives. So 12 years old, there he is in listening, verse 46. He's listening and asking questions. He was human. We might think that Jesus was always God and fully God, and so God didn't need to ask anybody anything because God already knows everything. Well, clearly not. God chooses to humble himself in the baby of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, and becomes an ordinary human who lives and grows and asks questions and listens. He's humble. Somebody once said that God is so humble, he doesn't want to be God. You think about that. God is so humble, he doesn't want to be God. I'm not sure we fully understand what that means, but God is humble. Jesus is humble. He's showing humility by asking questions. It's good when we're together to not always feel that we are the ones who have the answers. It's good to ask questions and to listen to one another. In verse 47, everybody who did listen to him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Clearly, there was something unique about Jesus as the teacher and as the one who understood already by age 12, had an understanding which amazed other people. Otherworldly, something divine about the way Jesus was teaching and speaking. Amazing. And in verse 49, he was at home in his father's house, the place he had to be. I had to be in my father's house, he says to his mother Mary. You know, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I would be in my father's house? Actually, the Greek doesn't use the word house. It just says, it is necessary for me to be in the things of my father. Some translations will say, to be about the affairs of my father. Well, maybe that's a closer translation, I don't know, but to be about the things, or to be in the things of the Father, is the point. In a sense, that is to be at home. Jesus was at home with what he was sharing, teaching, reading. He was at home in the place where the scriptures were honored and where God was understood to be. God was understood to invade the temple and to be present most fully in the temple at Jerusalem. So obviously that was the place where Jesus felt most at home and wanted to bring that message across to those who were listening, who believed that God resided in the temple. So to be in my Father's house, to be in the things of my Father, is what Jesus was all about. Here was the apostle Jesus, beginning to disclose the whole reason why he had been sent, and to begin to reveal who he really was, who he truly was. So it takes us to our last verse, verse 52. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So it made me wonder, how do we grow in favor with God? Or do we already have all the favor of God because we're in Christ? Yes, I believe that. But how do we grow in favor with God and with one another in the way that Jesus did? Well, the good news is that it's the life of Christ in the heart of the believer that does it. So that's what matters. If we have the life of Christ in our hearts, then through faith, we receive all the benefits of what it means to be living in favor with God and with one another. So it's not hard work, it's just faith. It's just by faith it's received. And when that life, the life of Christ, is born in us, something we celebrate at Christmas, the life of Christ being born amongst us and within us, then we realize that this is the source of all things, everything that's good. This life force is the source of everything, and that we're part of it, and that we're able to then begin to grow in Christ's likeness. And it takes a lifetime, doesn't it? I mean, I'm a long way away from it, but we're all growing in Christ's likeness by faith. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work that Jesus was sent to begin and to continue through us. So then we're able to begin to live out in the way that Paul urges the Colossians to do. So the next one, he urges them, and maybe we should begin with the verse just before that, the very beginning of the Colossians. Paul talks about, you were once like this, but now because of Christ, you're a new creation. You're new, you're different, you're not the same. And so therefore, you can begin to live differently. The verse says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We need to begin with that. In fact, maybe before we even begin to look at characteristics that we might want to develop as fruits of the Spirit, we need to accept that, first of all, we're God's chosen people. We're holy and we're dearly loved. We're made holy. That means to be without sin, or to be able to live without the propensity to sin. You're made holy as God is holy, and you're chosen by God. So unless we get that rooted in our psyche, we'll find it difficult to grow. We need to accept that for what it is and thank God for it. And so we begin with that truth of who we are in Christ and who we are with the gift of Christ with us, Emmanuel. So we can begin to be clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, to bear with each other and to forgive grievances. And then it goes on to put on love, to have the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to have the word of Christ dwell in us as we teach and sing and in our hearts, and to do it all in the name of Jesus and to give thanks to God through him. All these things are now possible, and not just possible, but these are what God desires to do in us. They are gifts of grace, and they're also fruits of the Holy Spirit, because they grow in us as we practice the gift. So the gifts of grace that Christ has made available to us today, and they're there to strengthen the body of Christ in the world. So we're to wear these gifts like, as Paul says, new clothes. He says, clothe yourself. Clothe yourself with the gift of Christ. Clothe yourself with these things. It's like God has given us a new wardrobe. Many of us like to have new clothes to wear, don't we? So the gospel truth is that Christmas means the gift of Christ. We have a whole set of new clothes to wear. And they're the right clothes, and they fit us perfectly, and they never need to be altered. Or maybe they're flexible enough to expand with us, you know. They're just the perfect clothes for us. They are clothes that are given to reveal the goodness of God. And I think also about the gifts. All these gifts are, they are constantly flowing between God the Father and God the Son through the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you like, in a circular flow, an endless cycle. These gifts are flowing constantly. This flow of love and compassion and gentleness and humility. And then when we're in Christ, we're brought into that flow. So we stand in them as part of it. We're caught up in it. And we're caught up into that endless cycle of love. The gift of Christ means that the good news of Christmas, God with us, means that we are caught up in this constant stream of gift giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. It's like stepping into a warm shower, and it's so near at hand that we can just access it simply by believing in the goodness of God as revealed to us by Christ. Simply by believing in the goodness of God as revealed to us by Christ. So as we come to the end of this year, why don't we imagine ourselves putting on some new clothes? Maybe there's a particular item of clothing up there that you would like to adorn yourself with. Or maybe imagine us stepping into this warm flow of divine gift giving and receiving. What is it we want to receive? What is it we want to give today? Why don't we take a few moments just to consider these words on the screen, and we'll pray about it. So let's pray. God, we thank you for your gift giving. At Christmas time, we remember the gift of Jesus the Apostle, the one who's sent on the mission to reveal yourself to all of humanity and all of creation. We thank you that you've pulled us into this endless flow of love and joy and peace, compassion, humility, gentleness. Thank you that you give us the ability to bear with one another and to forgive one another, and to have the word of Christ dwell in our hearts in such a way that we sing to you, Lord. And we pray today that those things that we would like to have, or those things that we would like to pass on to others, that you would grant them this day through the presence and the gifting of your Holy Spirit. So help us, O Lord, all to become ever more Christ-like as we continue to enjoy the gift of Christ in us. And we praise you and thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.